Hey, it's 2017, the year of rich fulfillment and great abundance. 2017, the year of rich fulfillment and great abundance. Look at the scripture with me, Psalm 66, verse 10. It says, "For you, O God, have tested us. You have refined us as silver is refined. You brought us into the net. You laid affliction on our backs. You have caused men to ride over our heads. We went through fire and through water, but you brought us out to rich fulfillment." And then out of the New Living Translation, "You have tested us, O God. You have purified us like silver. You captured us in your net and laid the burden of slavery on our backs. Then you put a leader over us. We went through fire and flood, but you brought us to a place of great abundance." And this is the word that I believe God has given us as a church for 2017. I think I've shared with you before. We have a board back here in the back corner that we put a slogan on for the year. And Barbara and Roy put that up for us. And Barbara was asking me at the beginning of the year, "What do you want me to put up? What slogan do you want me to put up for, what's the word for 2017? And well, last year I think we put up the word that Brother Copeland had shared, which we agreed with and was a good word. 2016 is the great year. Amen. For great year for whatever you need it to be. God can do something great in your life. And so he had a word for 2017, and then Brother Jerry Savelle, the Lord always gives him a word, and I thought was very appropriate. And I told her preliminarily, I think I emailed it to you or texted you, but I sent that word to her and said, "Well, let's just put that up." And she was getting ready to put that together. And I woke up one morning, this was, must have been late January or early February, and I woke up with a scripture that we just read, just stirring around in my heart, this passage. And I knew it was for me, and I knew it was for the church, and I knew it was a word for this year. And I don't know how that, I think just as I meditated on that, I just sensed that the Lord's saying, this is for this year. 2017 is the year of rich fulfillment. It's a year of great abundance. Amen? Amen. Praise God. And I believe it's a word for every person that's a part of City on a Hill Church. Say, "Well, I'm not a member of the church." Well, you're here today. God brought you here. Yes. Imagine that. God brought you here, so it must be for you too. Amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. And I believe it's for every individual. I believe it can be for you. So take this word for yourself. Say, "This is for me today." Amen. Praise God. A little bit slow on that, but amen. Let's try it again. "This is for me today."
"This is for me today."
There we go. All right. Praise God. And so a few weeks ago, so I started reading this scripture pretty much every day. I just get up and start declaring over my day. Today's going to be a great day, a blessed day, a fruitful day, a day of progress in the plan of God. And then I say that 2017 is my year of rich fulfillment and great abundance. See, the Lord also gave me at the very beginning of the year, write a new chapter of your life. Take your tongue and write. Amen. In Psalm 45, it says, "My tongue is the pen of a ready writer." What do you want to see in 2017? Begin to write it by the words of your mouth and by your declaration. So we put these two together. And so I started saying, 2017 is my year of rich fulfillment and great abundance. Amen.
Amen.
And based on this word, based on this scripture that the Lord reminded me of and stirred in my heart that morning. And so I sometimes I just take and just read the whole scripture, and I've got it in about four on a piece of paper on about four different translations, and I was reading those out, and I was struck with the word "us." How many times "us" is mentioned? "For you, O God, have tested us. You have refined us. You brought us into the net. But you brought us out to rich fulfillment. You brought us to a place of great abundance." In fact, the word "us" is used four times in that passage in verses 10 through 12. In addition to that, "our" is used twice, and "we" is used once. So seven times there's a reference to it being in the collective, in the group. Amen?
Amen.
And I shared it that Sunday. I said, "Look, this is not just a word for me. This is for our church." It's for every individual, every family, and every individual in the church, and it's for the church collectively. 2017 is our year.
Amen.
Yes. Make it your own. Woo. Make it your own. Make that your declaration. Declare that 2017 is your year. Yes. Say it's my year. My year. Of rich fulfillment and great abundance. And collectively, 2017 is our year for rich fulfillment and great abundance. Amen. Praise God. So there's a process to get there, though. And we're going to look at the process that the Scripture reveals right now. The first step in this process is the part we don't like to hear about, but it's a necessary step. It's testing and refinement. Testing and refinement. Verse 10, look at it again in the New King James. For you, O God, have tested us. You have refined us as silver is refined. And so in order to get to the rich fulfillment and great abundance, we got to go through the testing and refinement. Oh, yeah. I got one amen on that. Amen. All right. Does God test us? If so, how does He do it? And what methods does He use? All right. Because I want to deal with that for a moment because there's been a lot of confusion about this, about the subject, and a lot of misinformation on the subject of testing. Yeah. All right. What is the truth? What does the Scripture reveal? Well, I'll make this statement. God doesn't test you or me or anyone with sickness, with disease, with calamity. Amen. With those, that's not God testing you. Many people have interpreted every bad thing that happened and they've laid it off on God and they've said, well, God is testing me. Well, that just isn't so. Amen. Look at what Jesus said. How do you know that, Pastor? Well, look at what Jesus said in John 10 and verse 10. John 10:10. Jesus said, the thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. Who is that? Who's he talking about there? Satan. He's talking about Satan, isn't he? The thief, Satan, does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. And then Jesus contrasted that with what he came to do. That's what he said then. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. So it's the devil that's come to steal, to kill, to destroy. Stealing, killing, destroying. That's not God testing you. Stealing and killing, stealing your health. Destroying your life, stealing your finances, accidents, all of that. That's not God testing you. That's the devil attacking you.
That's right.
Yes. Amen? Amen? And the Bible tells us what our response to the devil and our stance toward the devil should be. It says resist the devil. James said resist the devil and he'll flee from you. But if we get confused about what's coming into our life, who the source of it, where it's coming from, if we think it's coming from God, well, we don't want to resist what God's doing. Huh? Yeah. No. Right?
That's right.
And so the devil tries to get us all confused and tries to slip his work in there and tell us, you know, this is God doing this to you. Why? So that you won't resist it. So the devil can come steal, kill, and destroy. Amen?
Yes.
And so we resist the devil.
Yes.
Amen.
But on the other side of that, there is a reality, there is a truth, obviously, to God testing us. So let's, and this is probably a 4 or 5 message series, this would be. I'm not going to do that today or over the next few weeks, but there's a lot we could say about it. But I'll just give you, we'll just give us some stuff to get us going in the right direction. Maybe you can do some study on your own, and then maybe we'll come back and do a series on it later in the year if the Lord leads us that way. But look at, of course, the Scripture, our main text, Psalm 66, it says, for you, O God, have tested us. So obviously God does test us, right? Amen. The Scripture said He does. All right. Look at Deuteronomy 8, verse 2. This is out of the New Living Translation. Deuteronomy 8, verse 2, it says, remember how the Lord your God led you through the wilderness for these 40 years. This is Moses talking to the children of Israel before they're going into the Promised Land. And he's the book of Deuteronomy is where he's recounting all this to them of what's happened over the last few years for them. Remember how the Lord your God led you through the wilderness for these 40 years, humbling you and testing you to prove your character. So the Lord does test us in order to prove our character and to find out whether or not you would obey His commands. All right, let's stop right there for a minute. Just think about that. Does God really need to do anything outwardly or for us to do anything outwardly or respond or see what our response is to really know what's in our heart?
No.
Think about it.
No.
Doesn't he already know?
Yes.
Amen. I know the scripture is written this way, but if you really look at it, what it is for us to see. God says, I need to show them, I need to put them through certain experiences, and I need to take them through certain things in their life to show them where they're really at. So then they'll listen to me when I say, hey, we need to work on this.
Amen.
That's really what it is. Amen. And so he said, God led you through the wilderness, humbling you and testing you to prove your character. To prove to who? To prove to yourself where you're at.
Yes.
Amen. And to find out whether or not you would obey his commands. Yes, he humbled you by letting you go hungry. He didn't leave you there. And then feeding you with manna.
Right.
You know, they didn't starve. None of them died out of starvation. But he said, you know, okay, I'm going to feed you. I'm going to take care of you. He's feeding you with manna, a food previously unknown to you and to your ancestors. He did it to teach you that people do not live by bread alone. Rather, we live by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
So what's he doing? So God, get this, God tests us and God refines us in order that we learn to depend totally on him, which will be for our benefit in future situations.
Amen.
Because he knows we're going to come upon situations in the future that if we have not learned to totally depend on him, those things are going to wipe us out. And he knew that about the children of Israel. He knew they were not ready to go into the promised land. They could have, you know, but they were not, because of their unbelief and because of deficiencies in their faith, they were not ready to go into the promised land. And so God tested them and proved them and dealt with things in their character during that 40 years, got them to a place where they could learn to depend totally on him. So when that generation was raised up that God says with Joshua, now it's time to go in, they said, yeah, we can go in. We can do this. Why? Because they'd learned to depend on God.
Right.
Amen? Now, we'll keep reading here in Deuteronomy 8. Again, Moses is giving his final instructions to the Israelites before he dies. And as they get ready to enter the promised land, and he's recounting what God did for them and the purpose behind it. He also does that in Deuteronomy. That's interesting. In the Psalms, it says that God made known his acts to the children of Israel, but he made known his ways to Moses.
Amen.
See, I don't know about you. I don't just want to know what God does, but isn't it good to know why he does it?
Yes.
Isn't it good to understand? If you can understand the purpose behind it, then it helps you to grasp it and to participate in it and cooperate with it a little better. Amen?
Amen.
And so he's revealing his purpose. He revealed his purpose to Moses. And he's telling them, communicating that to the people. He's telling them they're about to come into a land of great abundance. If you read the first few verses of Deuteronomy 8, he said, the Lord your God is bringing you into a land that's flowing with milk and honey, a land out of whose hills you can dig copper, a land that the eyes of the Lord are on it from the beginning of the year to the end of the year. You're going to come into and you're going to inhabit cities that you did not build and beautiful houses that you didn't build. You're going to come in and you're going to possess those and dwell in those. He said, but so you need to be ready for that, though. You need to have the character to be able to handle that prosperity and that blessing.
Amen.
Amen. And that's what he's talking about. And he's telling them, and cautioning them to remember the source of their blessing. So look at Deuteronomy 8, verse 15. And I want to add a parenthetical phrase here before this so it makes sense. To summarize what he said in the previous verses, I'll say it this way. Do not forget the Lord who led you. That's basically what the verses before that, he's telling them, don't forget the Lord. So we can read it that way. Do not forget the Lord who led you through that great and terrible wilderness, in which were fiery serpents and scorpions and thirsty land where there was no water, who brought water for you out of the flinty rock. There wasn't any water there, but God brought water out of the flinty rock, who fed you in the wilderness with manna, which your fathers did not know, that he might humble you and that he might test you. Look at this now. Why? To do you good in the end.
Amen.
To do you good
Amen.
In the end.
Amen.
God tests us, but it's to do us good. In the end, the end result is to do us good. God never tests anyone to take from them, to beat them down, to make their life miserable. Testing comes to do us good in the end.
Amen.
To do us good in the end. Amen?
Amen.
Oh, thank God. Thank God. Look at this. He led them into dangerous places. It says he led you through that great and terrible wilderness in which were fiery serpents and scorpions. All right? And yet he protected them and provided for them in the middle of that.
Amen.
And he may lead you and me into places in our lives that are uncomfortable. Dad Hagen has a great teaching on this called Must Christians Suffer? And he talks about some of the churches that God led him to pastor. And one he talks about, I heard him personally share the story many times about the church was divided and the previous pastor stayed in town when he came and took the church. The previous pastor stayed, and the previous pastor was collecting the tithes of some of the people in the congregation. And see, the way people do it now, they leave the church. But back then, they didn't leave. They stayed in the church, and the pastor left.
Right.
Okay, so that's the way it happened back then. And so Brother Hagin had come in, and some of the people didn't like him. They liked their previous pastor. They wanted him to stay. So he stayed in town, and he was collecting their tithes, and the church finances were struggling. And he said, you know, it was like when he would preach, he said it was like, you know, my words were just hitting the back wall and coming back and hitting me in the face. I mean, it's like it was so hard there. And he could tell. He said, I could tell when the former pastor, I could tell him when he was in town, and I could tell him when he was out of town, just by the atmosphere in the church. He said, I'd go home on Sunday night after the service. I'd lay down in bed. I'd turn to my wife and I'd say, Olivia, if I didn't know God was in this, if I didn't know God had led me here, he said, you know what I'd do? I'd get a U-Haul trailer. We'd pack it up here in the middle of the night and we'd leave town. The church members would come by the next morning and they'd think the rapture had happened and they missed it. He said, almost every Sunday night after that rough day on Sunday where his words are bouncing off the back wall and hitting him in the face, he'd lay down at night and they'd get ready for bed. He'd lay down in the bed. He'd turn to his wife and say, Olivia, you know what? He said, if I didn't know God was in this, and he'd go through it all again. But he knew God was, he said, but I knew the Lord led me there. I knew the Holy Spirit told me to go there. And so I stayed put. He said, and it developed character in me. And he said, I wouldn't do it again for $20 million, or I wouldn't do it again for $10 million, but it wouldn't take $20 million for the experience and for what I learned and for what it developed in me and in my character.
Amen.
That's how God tests us. He doesn't do it with sickness and disease. He doesn't do it with calamity, but he puts us in situations. You know, sometimes I have people, or I've had in the past, it hasn't happened lately, but in the past I've had people come up, Pastor, pray for me. Pray that God would give me a new job. I don't like my job. These people I work with are mean and they're not nice to me, and it's a bad environment to have to work in. Pray that God give me a new job. You know, and sometimes I would, but then sometimes I say, no, wait a minute. Maybe the Lord has you there to be a light and to be a witness. Hello? Got quiet in here. Huh? God may lead you into places that are uncomfortable for you. What is he doing? He's working on you. He's doing things to develop your character.
Amen.
Hallelujah. All right, so he led the children of Israel into places that were uncomfortable. They were exposed to perils. But guess what? He took care of them. He provided. The Bible says in that 40 years that their clothes didn't even wear out. Now, some of you ladies, you wouldn't like that. Dang, I wish this stuff would wear out so I could get something new. I've been wearing this for 38 years. Their clothes didn't wear out.
Amen.
He said their feet didn't swell. God supernaturally sustained them.
Amen.
During that period of testing. Amen. He led them through a desert, the place where there was no water, but he brought water out of the rock. They learned that he can supernaturally provide. He fed them with manna. Well, how was that a test? Well, they had to depend on it coming every day. They couldn't go out on Monday morning and get a week's worth. They could only get enough for Monday. On Tuesday, they could only get enough for Tuesday. On Wednesday, they could only get enough for Wednesday. On Thursday, they could only get enough for... Does that mean, does God just want us to scrape by? No, I don't think that's the message that he has for us. I think what he wants us to learn is to depend on him, though. Jesus prayed in the Lord's Prayer and taught us to pray, give us this day our daily bread.
Yep.
Don't worry about tomorrow. Amen. God will provide today. There'll be provision today.
Amen.
The only day they could get 2 days worth was on the day before the Sabbath, because none came down on the Sabbath. Anytime they tried to save it up, though, any other day, the Bible says it bred worms and stank. If something stank, that means it stinks really bad. Okay. It stank. Okay. And then the next level of that is stinketh. That's the condition Lazarus was in. Martha said, no, Lord, don't roll away the stone. By now he stinketh. He's been dead 4 days. All right. But anyway, they had to learn to depend on God every day. Amen?
Amen.
All right. And as we go through tests, if we'll pay attention, that's the thing. You can go through stuff, and if you're not paying attention, you just have to go around that mountain again. Amen. But as we go through tests, if we pay attention and if we learn the lesson, what develops in us is greater trust and greater faith and dependence on God. Amen?
Amen.
All right. The second part, back in Psalm 66:10, if you throw that one back up, Amy, it says, You, O God, have tested us. Look at this next phrase. You have refined us as silver is refined. You have refined us as silver is refined. What's the purpose of that? What is the purpose of refining a metal such as silver? Well, it's to remove impurities, isn't it? It's to remove impurities. The Bible talks about our faith being purified. You know, we can have impurities in our faith. We can be like the man that came to Jesus and said, Lord, I believe, but I realize I've got some unbelief in there. Help my unbelief. That we've got some impurities in our faith that he wants to remove and to get out. Well, that only comes through testing. Amen. Wigglesworth said, great faith comes through great test. Hallelujah. Another purpose of refinement of metals is to remove the weaknesses so that the metal can be stronger under pressure. Amen? Isn't that right? That's what God does with us. He takes us through a time of testing to strengthen us. Amen. To remove the weak, to expose our weaknesses. And then he doesn't expose our weaknesses to point his finger at us and say, you're weak. He says, here, this is going to show you, okay, now you see that you're weak. Let me take care of that. Let me take that out of your life. Yes. Let me heal you.
Yes. Yes. Amen.
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 Praise God. All right? So that we can be stronger under pressure. Because he wants to use us in a greater way.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. This is a scripture, Daniel 11:35 is a scripture God gave me personally for my life about 19 months ago when I was going through a real crisis. And it's proven to be true. Imagine that. Daniel 11:35, look at this. And some of those of understanding shall fall. Not to disqualify them, not so they'd be destroyed, but what? To refine them, purify them, and make them white until the time of the end, because it is still for the appointed time.
Amen.
Amen. God has been, I can testify that over these past 19 months, God's been refining me. He's been purifying me, making me spotless. Are you perfect, Pastor? No, I'm not perfect yet, but he's brought me through a process of, I'm sure not where I was 19 months ago. I can tell you that. Glory to God. Why does he do it? He says, because it's still for the appointed time. What does that mean? That means his plan, his purpose, the thing that he called me to do. He said, look, in order for you to get there, in order for you to do it, you can't do that in the condition you're in right now. We got to work on you. We got to do some refining. We got to do some purifying. We got to do some making white or making spotless, the NIV says. We got to work on you because my plan is still intact. I've not discarded you. I've not thrown you aside, but you got to be strengthened. You got to be in a place where you can stand in that place and fulfill. And the same, it's not just for me. It's the same principle is true for everybody. For each of us. Amen?
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
All right. The children of Israel went through testing in the wilderness because of disobedience and unbelief, as we said earlier, and they weren't ready to go into the promised land. God had to get them ready. Amen? And sometimes our testing, we enter into a place of testing as a result of disobedience, or our disobedience can expose the weaknesses in our character that need to be refined. Amen? And brought out. And the good thing is, like I said, God doesn't cast us off. He says, all right, we've got to get that stuff out of you.
That's right.
Amen? Amen. So you can be ready for what I've called you to do, for what I want to do in you and for you and through you.
Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
Look at, let's go to verse 11 of Psalm 66. Just hold steady. We're going to get to the shouting part here in a minute.
It's good.
Amen. Ooh. This is good, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
It's good for us. Verse 11, Psalm 66:11, you brought us into the net. You laid affliction on our backs. And then the first part of verse 12, he says, you have caused men to ride over our heads. Well, it may seem like, and there's a lot we could say about that, but I'll just say this. It may seem like that the enemy has the upper hand over your life. Yeah. Anybody ever felt that way?
Yeah.
That you try to rebuke the devil and it just doesn't seem to be working? But just hold steady. Yeah. Amen? Yeah. I said just hold steady. Yeah. God is working. Yes, the one side of it, yes, we have authority over the devil and we need to exercise it. That's a truth. That's a reality that we don't discard. But again, this is the other side of the mountain. The other perspective is there may be times where it seems like that's not working. The Bible talks about the saints and during the tribulation period that the saints, the people of God, will be given over to the power of the Antichrist for a time, times and half a time. All right? Why does God do that? I don't know. I don't know the full answer to that. But there may be times where it seems like our authority is not working. But just hold steady. That doesn't mean you abandon that message of exercising our authority. Yes, we do that. The Bible, we'd have to abandon the Bible if we and leave out parts of the Bible if we abandon that. So we can't abandon that. But we understand this side of it too. That you know that during this testing time, it may seem like things aren't working. Amen. All right. But just hold steady. God is working. Amen. Turn to your neighbor and say, God is working. Hallelujah. Amen. I love the old song by a man named Doyle Tucker, who was the worship leader at the church I went to in Tulsa years ago. If you feel like you don't know what to do, know I'm working. If uncertain of my will concerning you, know I'm working. Your deliverance may be hard to see, but what's impossible with you is possible with me. So hold fast your confession and look unto me, because I'm working. Amen. Hallelujah. All right, so just hold steady. And then the next phrase in verse 12, it says, we went through fire and through water. We went through fire and through water. Sounds like we're going through some water this morning, doesn't it?
Amen.
But the point is, we went through it.
Yes.
I said we went through it.
Yes.
He didn't say we got drowned and we got burned up. We went through.
Yes.
We went through fire. I love that statement in the Bible. It says, and it came to pass. Always remember that it didn't come to stay. It came to pass. It's going to pass. Amen. We went through fire and water. They came through it. And you'll come through it. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego went through the fire. God didn't deliver them from it. God didn't say, oh no, you're not going to have to go in this. They were bold. They said, you know, King Nebuchadnezzar, if you throw us in to the furnace, we're not going to bow down and worship you. And if you acquiesce and say, we're not, oh, sorry, guys, I won't throw you in. Either way, no matter what comes, we're not going to bow down to you. We worship the one true God.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Well, God didn't keep them from going into the fiery furnace. What he did do, though, was keep the flame from kindling upon them. Get this, the only thing that burned on Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were the ropes that bound them.
Yeah. Hallelujah.
When you go through a test, when you go through the fire, if you'll hold steady and trust in God, the only thing that's going to burn off is the stuff that's been binding you.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Yes.
Amen. Did you get that?
That's right.
Hallelujah. Isaiah, look at Isaiah 43, verse 2. This is the New Living. When you go through deep waters,
yes,
I will be with you. When you go through rivers of difficulty, you will not drown.
Amen.
We're going under. No, we're not. He said, when you go through those rivers of difficulty, you'll not drown. Turn to your neighbor and say, you're not going to drown. You're not going under. Amen. When you walk through the fire of oppression, you will not be burned up. The flames will not consume you. Why? Why not? He tells us in verse 3, for I am the Lord your God.
Amen.
You have a God. I said you have a God.
Yes.
The next the Message Bible in verse 3 says it this way, because I am God, your personal God, the Holy of Israel, your Savior. I paid a huge price for you. Listen, God has a lot invested in you.
Yes.
Amen.
He's not going to let you fail. You're too big to fail. You're like Goldman Sachs and Lehman Brothers. You're too big to fail.
Amen.
In God's eyes. Now, we shouldn't see ourselves that way, obviously. But in God's eyes, He paid a huge price for you. He's got too much invested in you to let you fail and to let you fall. Amen? He's working in you. Hallelujah. All right. Let's go. Are you ready to shout? I hope you're already. We're already getting into shouting territory. It's just going to get even better here. Back to Psalm 66. Let's read it again as we close. For you, O God, have tested us. You have refined us as silver is refined. You brought us into the net. You laid affliction on our backs. You have caused men to ride over our heads. We went through fire and through water, but you brought us out to rich fulfillment.
Hallelujah.
But you brought us out. But you brought us out.
Amen.
But you brought us out.
Yes.
But you brought us out.
Yes, Lord.
I knew that morning. That I knew that morning when I woke up. And this scripture was going around in my spirit. I knew the Lord was saying to me that morning, the time of testing and refining is over. You've gone through it, son.
Hallelujah.
You've gone through it. You passed through the fire.
Amen.
Yeah, I'm not saying there won't be further. There's always a place for that. But in this realm, I knew the Lord was saying, you've gone through that time of testing. You've gone through that time of refining. You passed through the fire and through the water. And you're still standing. I preserved you. I sustained you, he's saying. Now,
yes.
It's time to come out.
Yes.
Now, it's time for rich fulfillment.
Yes.
What does that mean? What is rich fulfillment? When I read that phrase, rich fulfillment, I think about Ephesians where it says God is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all we can ask or think.
Amen.
That's rich fulfillment. That's rich fulfillment.
Yes.
That's your prayer being answered. That's the thing you've been believing for and standing for and holding on in faith for. And God answers it. And He does it so wonderfully and so great that you just fall on your knees in tears and you say, oh, God, You're so good. I didn't expect this. This is so much better than I even hoped for or dreamed for.
Amen.
That's rich fulfillment. That's what He says. I'm bringing you out to rich fulfillment. Hallelujah. It's time for us. As a church, to come into rich fulfillment and great abundance. You know, so you may look around and say, well, it doesn't look like that, Pastor. Well, we walk by faith.
Yes.
Amen.
God says you believe it first and then you'll see it.
Amen.
That's faith. Yes. Faith is not seeing it first and then believing it. Faith is believing it and then seeing it.
Amen.
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 Believing is seeing in the kingdom of God. In the world, seeing is believing, but in the kingdom of God, believing is seeing.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. It's time for you.
Yes.
It's time for you. Again, I said, if you're here this day, this message is for you. Amen?
Amen.
It's time for you. I know we're all maybe at different places spiritually, different places in our lives and the working of God, but I believe this is a word for this church. I believe it's a word for you personally. It's time for you to come into rich fulfillment and great abundance.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Well, what does that mean? That just means spiritually, right? I mean, that doesn't mean materially or financially. Well, the King James translation says He brought us to a wealthy place.
Amen.
He brought us to a wealthy place.
Yes.
The Living Bible says it this way, but in the end, You brought us into wealth and great abundance.
Amen.
In the end, You brought us into wealth and great abundance. So I want you to expect it. Why don't you stand up with me? Let's begin to praise God. I want you to expect it. That's why I preach this today. It's to get your expectation up. Begin to expect it. Begin to believe it. Begin to declare. If you haven't been declared it already, begin to declare. Say it every day when you get up. 2017 is my year of rich fulfillment and great abundance. If I were you, I'd get this scripture like I've got. I've got somewhere in my Bible here. I must have taken it out, but... just so I wouldn't scatter it this morning. But I've got it in about four different translations and I read through it every day. That passage, Psalm 66, 10 through 12. If I were you, I'd do something similar. Amen?
Amen?
Every morning when you get up, declare 2017 is my year of rich fulfillment and great abundance.
Yes.
Glory to God. Olivia, you went through the fire and through the water and you're still standing.
Yes.
Hallelujah. You're coming out.
Yes, sir.
Look at what God has done.
Yes, sir.
Look at what God has done. Hallelujah. Expect it, believe it, declare it. I want to read this. Pastor Moss, my dear friend who has stood with me. I tell him all the time, Pastor Moss, I wouldn't have made it without you. He's been there almost on a daily basis over the last year and a half to encourage me and keep me in faith. And he gave me this a while back. It's a word that God gave him back on November the 14th of last year. And he just shared it with me just the other day.
Amen.
Listen, it fits in perfectly. Listen to this. Count it all joy when you go through the test and through the trial, knowing that this will only last just a little while. You must keep your joy as you go throughout the land. Keep the victory shout, because I have given you the upper hand.
Amen.
The enemy has lost his foothold, for you can clearly see that you're truly living in America, the land of the free.
Amen.
You will overcome. You may not know when and even know how, but maintain your confession and do not lose your wow. Things will get better now as you give me all your praise. I'm working things out for you as you continue to follow my ways. My plans for you are way beyond your imagination. I'll bring your desires to pass very soon without hesitation. Your increase is coming now as you continue to follow me. I will take care of you, my child, and I will keep you free. I will not let you down. I knew you before you were born. I had a plan for your escape when you became tired and worn. But lift up your eyes now, for I'm doing a new thing. I have heard your prayers, and your victory I do bring. When circumstances look impossible and everything seems to go wrong, don't give up on your faith, for my joy will make you strong. I'm moving things around, and you will soon see the change. I'm working on your behalf to make sure those things are rearranged. Then they will turn around in your favor, because your faith is in my word.
Amen.
It's going to be different now because you have taken heed to what you have heard. You are living in the final hours, for soon I'll return for you. So don't worry and be fretful, because I will do what I said I will do.
Amen.
Continue to follow me and do not live in sin. Then you'll be able to rest on my promise you found in Isaiah 41:10. Fear thou not, for I'm with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Let's give him praise today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, we thank you for it, Lord. We receive it, Lord. We declare it, Lord. In the name of Jesus, we declare. Lord, I declare that 2017 is our year of rich fulfillment and great abundance for City on a Hill Church. I declare that 2017 is the year of rich fulfillment and great abundance for everyone under the sound of my voice right now. Lord, we believe it. Lord, we take it in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Praise God. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Aren't you glad you came to church today? Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God.
Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah. God is faithful. Watch and see what God does.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
Praise the Lord. All right.